Hey, welcome back, everybody. It's time once again to meet our community, the Hispanic business community here in Orange County, powered by the Orange County Hispanic Chamber of Commerce and Orange County's only community radio station, OC Talk Radio, streaming live from our studios here at the University of California, Irvine's Beal Applied Innovation Center with the man we just gave him a new title here, Mr. Orange County, John Gutierrez.
Bob Roberts, thank you, sir. Welcome, everybody, to our community podcast show powered by the Orange County Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. I'm your host, Senior Vice President John Gutierrez. Thank you all for tuning in again. We have another great guest with us, a community leader, Mr. Sergio Contreras, who's the Executive Director, United for Student Success, Orange County United Way, President and Founder of Made in Orange County. Great online social media. You got to go follow it on Instagram. Education advocate for over 20 years and former school board president and city council member. And of course, also one of our Estrella Award winners coming up April 6th, our Community Impact Award winner. Welcome, Mr. Sergio Contreras.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Hey, John, can I speak up and say one thing?
Yes.
The show's over. Took so long to give his credentials.
Right?
The show's over.
This man's got... He's got
done too many things. Takes too long to explain what he's done.
Yes, he's got a great title.
And did you want to do a shout-out to where he was a city councilman? You didn't say where.
Westminster.
Westminster.
Yes, Westminster.
I want to say it right. Westminster.
And he's currently on the board of something else we learned about. What's that?
The Midway City Sanitary District.
See, I didn't even know there was such a thing.
Yes.
Trash.
Well, we have to make sure we give all the props to all the hard work he puts in the community, because let me tell you, there's some great stuff that Sergio Contreras has done, especially with a legend, Miss Silvia Mendez, who was also a winner at our Estrella Awards. And we'll go into all of that and what he's got going on with everything in her history. But first and foremost, we'd like to get to know you, Sergio. Just if you don't mind sharing a little bit about you and just where you grew up, and we'll get into how you ended up in all these great leadership roles.
Well, before I do get started, though, I got to tell you, this is probably the most exciting podcast studio I've ever been in my life.
So there, see? Okay.
Great decorations.
Paul's not going to fit energy when he walks out the door.
I love the energy in here. Yes, thank you so much. You know, I'm an Orange County guy, just like you. You mean, Mr. Orange County. You know, I was born by the river in a little tent. Actually, not really, but, you know, I was born in Westminster, born and raised in Westminster. My family is from Mexico, so I'm a first-generation American, English learner, and the first in my family to go to college. So for me, Orange County has been an incredible place of, you know, like I mentioned, Westminster, which is really well-known as Little Saigon, home of the largest Vietnamese refugee community outside of Vietnam. So I was there before it became Little Saigon, which is exciting about it. But ultimately, you know, I'm Orange County guy just like you. I mean, I'm just excited to be a part of this community. And
how did your family end up in Westminster, since all the Latinos and Hispanic people ended up in Santa Ana? That's kind of interesting. I just always wanted to ask you that.
That is a great question. I don't know. I just thank my dad that he didn't end up in L.A. I always tell him that. My dad, you know what? I'm so glad we did not end up in L.A. I mean, I love L.A., but I love Orange County.
You sound like the song, I love L.A.
Yeah, I love Orange County. You know, I think because my dad had a sponsor from a Presbyterian church.
Okay.
And she lived in Westminster, and that's pretty much how it all started. And that's how we ended up in Westminster.
Wow. Yeah. That's interesting. And what was it like for you growing up in Westminster? I mean, I know you said it eventually it turned into Little Saigon. So growing up, it wasn't like that. It was predominantly what, Hispanic or?
No, it was actually it was really diverse. It was actually white, Latino, and Vietnamese. So I was that one Latino kid playing marbles with my Vietnamese friends by the tree during recess.
Nice.
That didn't really speak English.
Canicas.
Yeah, that didn't really speak English. So, you know, growing up, you know, I never really saw myself as different because I really grew up in a diverse city. Really, yeah. Westminster has always been pretty diverse. I never really noticed, you know, the demographics of my friends, other than when, you know, I was reminded when I ran for public office that, hey, you know, you're Latino. I'm like, well, as a matter of fact, I am. But I never really, you know what I mean? It's like, I was just part of an exciting fabric community that's really diverse. So I think.
And I think that's important that as kids, we have that perspective, because I was just sharing this with my son. I I pulled out my old picture of Pop Warner football in Santana, yeah. where I went to Memorial Park. I grew up on Highland and Flower there. And a lot of my teammates went to later on to Valley High School, Saddleback. My football team, when you look at it, very diverse. Mm-hmm. You know, I had a little bit of everything. Latinos, white, African-American, a little bit of everything. I think yeah. even some Asian kids in the picture. Like, it was just very diverse. And so growing up, I didn't think any different. Like, right. it was just, we were just like a melting pot football team yeah. playing together. Let's go out there and win, right?
Yeah.
And so tell me, growing up in Westminster, was there certain eventually like ways and cultures that you learned different from not just the Hispanic community, but obviously the Vietnamese community and other communities that you were involved with there, like food-wise and things like that?
You know, I've noticed, and I get that question asked a lot, actually. And for me, you know, we're all the same.
Yeah.
Our immigrant communities are about family.
Yeah.
You know, extended family. We like to pull in our relatives, right? You know, I know, God knows I had my share. My grandma, grandpa, my aunt, my uncle's yes. all living at my parents' house.
Yes.
But yeah, you know, the food and, you know, food, family and safety, education, you know, all the values that we all enjoy that makes, you know, again, this country a great place. So I've been very fortunate. I think only when I try to learn Vietnamese did I really learn how difficult it is to break in through that language. It's so difficult.
It's pretty difficult, huh?
I've known some survival Vietnamese, but okay. not enough to, I guess, I maybe survive, but maybe not for too yeah. long.
Yes, Paul.
Can we give them a little lesson? I happen to know a little about this here. Vietnamese is a language that it's not what you say, it's how you say it.
Right.
Really?
Very tonal.
So
really?
If you go, the word for dog, and I forgot what it is, you can say, like we just say dog, but if you say dog, real quick, or dog, or you go up, or you go down, it can mean three totally different
Absolutely.
Things. And I think dog is one of those words, I may be wrong.
Really?
That has three totally different
so
meanings
it's how
depending
how you say the tone.
You, do you yeah. go up, do you go wow. down, or do you say it real short?
Wow. I think it's kind of also like when my mom used to scream at me before she threw me the chancla. She's like, Juanito! Or Juanito?
And then you duck.
Or Juanito,
oh,
you better,
right,
you know,
right,
Johnny,
okay.
you better come in. You know,
yeah,
and
depending on the tone.
I already knew, right, the tone.
Yeah, that's true.
Let me ask you this. Now, growing up in Westminster, what high school did you go to out there? Can you share a little bit about that?
Oh, yeah, Westminster High School.
Okay.
And so growing up at Westminster High School, I live really close to Long Beach State, so I went to Long Beach State.
Oh, nice.
And
did you like Long Beach State?
I love Long Beach.
Yeah.
I still think it's one of the most finest institutions that California has to offer. There's a lot of great places to
learn. Shout out to Long Beach State, right?
Yeah, Long Beach is fantastic. And then
Ocean Drive over there is really nice. Pine Street, we used to go down there a lot
yeah,
for the restaurants.
It's
you know?
Beautiful. And now they have, that Second Street they just opened up on PCH and Second.
Okay,
nice
I haven't seen that
there.
One. Okay.
But, you know, but I want to go back really quick in
sure.
terms of, like, what defined who I am and kind of how I kind of navigate through Orange County. My dad, mm-hmm. who is, all you know, I mentioned is an immigrant from Mexico, he worked at Disneyland for 44 years.
Wow.
So he's a night custodian working the graveyard shift from, I think it was midnight till about 7:30 a.m., I think it's around that time. He would get home around 8:30, so my guess is 7:30. And so he worked there. My uncle worked there. My sister worked there. You know, so guess where I got to work at?
Disneyland.
Disneyland. So I did my share at Disneyland at the family mill for 10 years as a cook and a dishwasher through college.
Wow.
So there is where I learned about my interpersonal communication skills and working with people, collaborating and
really
dealing with difficult people.
So you attribute a lot of what you've done today
Absolutely.
To the skills you picked up at Disneyland.
At Disneyland.
Shout
so
out to Disneyland.
A lot for, you know, the skills of just really life skills that Disneyland gave me.
Well, this is ironic now that we're talking about this because for the first time in the history of our Estrella Awards, Disneyland is also receiving an award from us.
That's right.
Gina.
The irony in that.
Gina. How ironic.
Isn't that crazy?
I just got chills. Like,
yeah.
This is kind of crazy.
That's great that you point that out. Yeah, 10 years. I worked at Disneyland for 10 years.
Yeah.
And my dad retired just after the pandemic, 44 years. So I have a big connection to Disney, and I appreciate the opportunity they gave me.
Wow. Go ahead, Paul.
And we had the president of Disneyland sitting in that chair.
That's right.
Ken Parker.
That's right. That's right.
And who started off working a little small deli his family had in New York, I think in Brooklyn, right across from the
Ruben interviewed him that day.
Yeah, right.
He's a friend of his.
So he came from very humble background. He and went to college. He might have been the first one in his family to go to college. I'm not sure. and he worked his way up. Now he's the president of Disneyland. And we're talking about a man who's been a city councilman and all that, who also started.
Hey, maybe one day you'll run Disneyland, huh?
You know, I'd love to go back one day, but I still wake up sometimes. This is a true story. I wake up sometimes in the middle of the night and I'm like, I need to make more potatoes. I'm right. The last restaurant I worked on is the Plaza Inn. As you walk in,
we're short of potatoes.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, what's going on? We need more chicken. Like, oh no! I literally to this day sometimes wake up thinking, I'm like, oh no.
Now, did you have to be there super early to prep like food and get stuff ready?
So my shift, because the longer you're there, the earlier shifts you get, more seniority, and you want to be there early because the earlier you get, the less you need to really be there all day and through the tough time of the day, but. Yeah, we get there super early, making food early in the morning, and the last place I worked at was the Plaza Inn.
I got to tell you, because of Estrella Awards, which, by the way, as you all know, April 6th, Sergio Contreras here, who's with us today, is going to be receiving one of our awards, the Community Impact Award. By the way, congratulations. Well-deserved. And we'll go into all that. I had to go do the food tasting for our Estrella Awards. I normally don't go, other people go, but this year I got to go with Ruben. That was a really cool experience because I got to meet the chefs and some of the staff, and they set up all this food, and they're like, what do you prefer? They're kind of asking everybody the short rib, the steak, the chicken with this, and I'm taking video and everything, and my wife's like sending me messages like, really, what a hard day you're having.
Tough day at the office.
Tough day at the office. And it was all delicious, by the way, all delicious. And it was just really nice to shake the hand the hardworking people that often we don't see, right? I mean, we go to this big gala and 600 plus people and black tie, beautiful event. And of course, you see all the hardworking waiters coming out, which we always make sure we thank at the event. But you don't always meet the people behind the scenes, right? The kitchen people. And it was just nice to meet the chef. One of them had been there like 20 some years or something. Got to meet some of them and talk with them. And, we were just kind of shooting stuff in Spanish. Yeah. ¿Cómo está? Mucho gusto. Yeah. But it's just beautiful to see that they're the ones making these delicious plates.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, a lot of passion into the work, people that work at Disneyland. And
you're a part of that team, man.
I was excited to be a part of that.
Wow. And now you're getting an award.
I can't.
At Disneyland. With Disneyland getting an award that day.
That's crazy. I didn't even notice that. But you know what? I got to tell you, this to me is very exciting. I'll be completely honest. As a councilman, as a school board member, I had my opportunity to hand out certificates and go to many events and birthday parties and commemorations and celebrations. And this to me is very special, this Community Impact Award, because I've been going to this thing. I mean, I know my first one was, I know over 20 years ago when I went to my first Estrella Award.
Really?
My first one, I know it was over 20 years ago.
Wow.
And I remember walking into that room in a suit that was way too big for me and just not knowing anyone. Yeah. But I saw these influential Latinos and Latinas, business owners, electeds, and they're all in this room. And I thought, I was just, my jaw just dropped because I'm from Westminster.
Yeah.
I've never seen a room full of Latinos,
Hispanic professionals. Yes.
Never. Yes. And so I was just like awestruck. And to this day, I still am. So to actually, I've always grew up admiring everyone from the chamber, business owners like yourself. I admire you guys. And that's kind of what the life of Maine and Orange County is about for me. I admire you guys' courage to do the work that you guys do every day, to put yourself out there when starting a business.
It's tough.
Yeah. It's tough. Yeah. Not getting the support from your family sometimes, not understanding, your family's not understanding the type of work and time that goes into creating a business.
It's tough, yeah.
But I've always admired all of you guys, and especially in Orange County. So to actually get an award from the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, to me, is like surreal. I cannot process that, and I'm still processing it. Even at Cal State Fullerton, we had the VIP reception. Uh-huh. Like, I left it with a sense of like, wow, like, did that just happen?
Wow.
I'm not kidding you. It just blows my mind.
What does your family think? Have you told them?
I told my dad. And I took my dad to his first Estrella Awards last year.
Okay.
And he was blown away. The same experience I had, he had.
Really? Oh, so he was there when we had Edward James Olmos. And Sylvia. Oh,
I'm sorry, take that back. Last
the year before?
The year before last.
Okay, the year before
that. Sylvia is when I took Sylvia that one time, but the time before that.
Okay.
And my dad was blown away because, again, he worked at Disneyland.
Yes.
And so here he is, he used to be a custodian, but here he is in a suit in a room with all these influencers.
Wow, that is a story right there.
Right?
That is a story.
He was solely blown away by everybody that was there.
I love it. I love it.
And so now he gets to go to that event.
Yes.
And like, I get to like get an award from that.
So you're bringing your dad?
Absolutely.
Yes.
I'm bringing my pops and my mom.
Yes.
That's
yes.
Gonna be awesome.
Yes. You're bringing the family.
Yeah. I'm super excited about that.
Wow. They get to see you go up there. No, we're very thankful for everything you do and have done in the community. You know, I know we'll get into, obviously, you're the executive director for, of course, United for Student Success at the Orange County United Way. Congratulations. I mean, that's a great organization. How did that happen? How'd you end up there, if you don't mind sharing briefly about that? What's that been like?
Well, short story, education changed my life.
Okay.
It did. I'd probably still be at Disneyland, and that's okay. I'd be by as long as my dad's been there, right, by now. But it changed my life, and it created pathways and opportunities. As a first-generation Latino and a first-generation college student, you know, I've been blessed to have a lot of amazing people in my life that mentor me and to support me and to help guide me and decipher the higher education, because it can be confusing for some, mm-hmm. especially paying for it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got very lucky in my experience as a school board member. I got picked up almost 11 years ago by at the time was Carla Vargas.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you ever met Carla. Carla was a vice president of the United Way back then.
I might have met her, yes.
And she's just amazing. She's doing some great things in Arizona. So shout out to Carla Vargas. But because of that, I've been there and I've been working hard to create pathways for students, mostly first-gen college students, socioeconomic disadvantage of this social disadvantaged background, right? Because we don't want to label them anything different. And creating pathways to college and career and everything from workplace mentorships to, you know, helping them fill out a college application.
Wow. A lot of what you went through, right?
Absolutely.
I know because I was part of the EOB program back then, the Education mm-hmm. Opportunity Program. I had to go.
Were you part of EOPS?
I don't know if it's called EOPS now, but back then it was called EOB. You're right. EOPS. I'm sorry.
That's awesome.
Educational Opportunity Program.
Yes,
or something.
Me too.
Yes, yes.
Me too. I got that at Orange Coast College before I went to Long Beach.
Yes,
I went there.
I went to Chico State in the summertime through like a summer bridge program.
Yeah.
And it really helped me because for a first time, you know, college person, I went to Chico State 13 hours away and
wow.
I was 17 and a half years old. And my teacher was like, my mentor, my English teacher was like, you're going to go to college and you're going to go to the school because we need to get you away from here mm-hmm. and all your friends and, you know, bad influences. And so I packed my stuff. My brother-in-law, my sister and them drove me over there. And I was like it was like culture shocking,
wow.
right? I was just telling the story the other day to one of my family members. I'm like, you're in a classroom in Santana with all Hispanic kids. And then you're in a college with
yeah, Chico.
Yeah, like no Hispanic kids. You're the only one in the room.
Wow.
And you're like, where's everybody? What happened?
Yeah,
like, where'd they go? You know?
But see, that's the courage
yeah.
that yeah. I think people don't really talk about. It takes yeah. a lot of courage, not only just to transfer to a college, but to stay in college and complete.
Yeah.
And for a lot of students I work with, that's the biggest challenge for them.
It was tough. And it was funny because my first week I got invited to speak on behalf of the outreach department. And then they hired me mm-hmm. to do that as a job. And so I would come down to Orange County and recruit kids from Saddleback,
wow.
Santa Ana, Century. And a lot of them started going to Chico and they loved it, you know?
That's awesome.
But nobody ever knew where Chico was.
That's awesome.
So I think that's great that you're doing that because obviously they see you as somebody that's been there and done that, right?
I hope so. I really hope. Our team works really hard to create that cultural sensitivity that some of these students need, the extra push, because, you know, some people feel if you send an email for a workshop, they're going to open the email and they're going to show up. And it's not the case. These are our hard-to-reach students that,
yeah.
one, don't understand it, don't know if it's for them, so mm-hmm. we have to, like, talk to them and mm-hmm. enroll them. It takes time, and it's yeah. a lot of hand-holding sometimes.
Yeah.
But when they're in that room, they end up like you, being a business owner, and hopefully, you know, graduate from college and such, so we're very excited about the work.
The other thing I think is also sometimes, I mean, I found back then that I had to convince my parents to let me go to college.
I know that pain.
Right? I don't know if you had that, but I went home and I told them, hey, I got accepted to these schools and I'm going to go away to college. And my dad was like, no, you're not. And I'm like, yes, I am. And he was like, no, you're not. You're going to stay here, help us out. And I'm like, no, I'm going to go. So it's a very different mindset in the Latino history.
Absolutely.
So you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, my college is 15 minutes away. And it was just like, why are you going so far away? I'm like, it's 15 minutes from here. It's like literally 15 minutes from my house.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, you're right. The get them to understand, but also get them to support you. They don't know. They just say, go to college.
You can't blame them, of course.
No, absolutely not. But they say, go to college. You know, sign up.
Yeah.
But they don't tell you how.
Yes, yes.
Or, you know, how to study. Yeah. You know, what classes to take. They just say, go, get a college. God bless them. But yes, you're right.
Yeah, convincing our parents to, pero donde vas? Y donde vas a dormir?
Take it so long.
Yeah, yeah. Where are you going to stay?
How come you're not at the party again?
Exactly. Yeah. So let's go back real quick. Also, you're the president and founder of Made in Orange County, which is a really cool Instagram social media platform. And I'm sure you also have it on Facebook and other places, but I see it mainly on Instagram. And it's really cool because you feature a lot of businesses in Orange County. And obviously, you're at the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. We love to support small businesses. And what made you decide to do that? How did that happen? How did that start?
That happened. Actually, we're going to be 2 years old now. And it was a pageant project that started just after my race for County Board of Supervisors, which I lost by 3%.
Wow.
And I met so many incredible people. Again, remember, I'm from Westminster. So I never really spent time in Santa Ana and Garden Grove and Fountain Valley and Midway City, like to the level of like every day, hours on end meeting voters and meeting with the community. And so I got to meet really a lot of exciting business owners. But one of the things I also noticed was the lack of mentors, I think, that are missing in our community. Yeah. And some people that don't even know their mentors and they don't know their role models and inspiration for others. And so I'm trying to highlight those people. Yes. That are running a business. Like I mentioned earlier, it's not easy to run a business.
Yeah,
it takes, again, courage, time, and a lot of patience. And
that's right.
Right? So I want to celebrate those people. I want to celebrate those entrepreneurs that are living their dream, that are sticking their neck out and risking it all sometimes. Sometimes everything.
Everything.
They put their heart and soul, hours on end, to these businesses. And I mean, they're not, I want to highlight them. So I just been spotlighting businesses. I think I'm reaching over 100 soon of Orange County businesses that I highlighted.
Congratulations,
and
man.
We've got a ways to go. There's still more to highlight. I mean, we've got to get you on there eventually and tell your story. I think these are all great role models for everyone. They're really Orange County role models, and I'm very excited about keeping that passion project alive.
Well, good for you. Thank you for doing that because, you know, I've always said, small businesses are the backbone of our economy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's important to have these big corporations and it drives the economy, but it's really the boots in the ground, the small businesses, right, that eventually, hopefully, will continue to grow. It's like planting that seed and watering it and watering it, and hopefully the mm-hmm. tree grows. And so thank you for that. And of course, you were a long time, you know, you've been involved in the educational system, right? You're a huge education advocate, 20 years, former school board member, president, and of course, you're at once city council member. Can you share a little bit about that?
Well, that's a lot to cover. I mean, I'm proud to represent residents for over 20 years in public office. I can't believe I'm even saying that. And when I started running for office, it was back in 1999.
Wow.
And I lost my first three elections. I wasn't actually elected until 2024.
Okay.
I mean, sorry, 2004.
But what made you decide to run? Was it your dad was involved in something? Like your parents, your family, like when you were growing up?
No, you know, I don't come from, like I mentioned, my dad's a custodian.
But nobody in your family ever said, hey, go try this or look into this?
It was literally, I don't know if you remember Bob Martinez.
Bob Martinez.
He was involved with the chamber and really long time ago, he created a leadership camp and he took a group of us to Chicago for a leadership conference out, you know, back in Chicago. And in I got to meet other Latinos and outside the country. I thought, wow, we live in Chicago? I always thought we're only in Westminster. And the three of us are in Westminster.
You're stuck in the bubble of Westminster.
But there I learned the value of being in elected office and being a voice and advocating for things that you believe in.
Yes.
And an only way to get to that place is sometimes through elected office. Not the only way, but one of the ways.
Mm-hmm.
And to be an advocate for your community. And I was really passionate about after school programs. My undergrad is in criminal justice. And so I got to intern at Orange County Juvenile Hall, and I got to meet a lot of young Latinos and the 14, 15, 16-year-old that couldn't read or write.
Wow.
And that's over at the detention center at in Orange.
This is one across from the block.
Right.
Of Orange, right down.
And I got to intern there, and I learned firsthand that these guys need support, so what can I do? And so I ran for school board, and, you know, three elections later, I got elected to represent them, and I just fell in love with public policy and being a voice for the community and being able to work with others and bring people together, and I love it.
Wow. That is awesome, because let me tell you, you really talked about some key kids in the community. I know one of our guests here is with Deidre Pujols, and she has a foundation. She works a lot with those kids there, and she talks about how some of these kids are there for the most smallest things, like they stole the Snickers, or they stole something they shouldn't have at a young age, and now they're in the system, and it's hard for for them to get out, like you said, because they don't know how to read or write, or they just never got the proper education, or they never had maybe the proper parents or mentors, right? It's so important, education, right? And also the product of what we become from where we grow up, the environment, right? Let's get into Sylvia Mendez, because I know this is another one of your passion projects.
Yes.
And Paul's already giving me the stinky eye that we only have about 10 minutes. But let's get into this, because you were...
I said 5 minutes. You just turned it into 10.
10 minutes, Paul. This is very important. Share with everybody Mendez versus Westminster, and how you have gotten involved with Sylvia Mendez, who's a legend in our community, and she was also one of our winners at Estrella Awards. Please talk about that whole passion project of yours, and then also the Freedom Trail that's coming up with the Mendez Monument Park that you were involved in.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, so really quick, you know, the background, Mendez versus Westminster is a landmark civil rights case.
Yes, yes.
That happened here in Orange County, that helped desegregate schools here in California.
And this is before Brown versus Board of Education, the famous thing that put it on the map, right?
Yes, this is precursor to Brown versus Board of Education. It was used to argue Brown versus Board of Education. And so I met Sylvia, I think, in 1999. And I didn't know Sylvia. I didn't know she was the Sylvia. That's, that's the part that blows my mind at first.
Interesting.
We're just friends.
Yes.
And it was during my undergrad, I discovered the Mendez case in college at Long Beach State by accident. Literally, I was going through the book and it said Westminster. And I thought, Westminster, England? Or Westminster, where,
right,
I live.
Where I live, yes.
And it ended up being Westminster. So met Sylvia, fast forward, she became a really good friend, mentor, just always checking on me and coming to my fundraisers when I was running for school board. And I didn't realize why she was so passionate about me being on the school board.
Yeah.
Never clicked, I kid you not.
Wow.
And years went on, and she's like, you know what? There needs to be something about to really commemorate this case. There's no marker, there's no certificate, there's nothing in the schools. Like, wow. How do we teach the community about this case that these families argue for? Because
so it's not forgotten.
Absolutely. And that because for us to value what we have, we also understand the history of how we got here. And I think really the Mendez case to me is a case, a story about community and family, and what families do to fight to make sure that their child receive a quality public education.
Was she the plaintiff, or her parents were the plaintiff in this case?
So it all started when they tried to enroll their daughter, Sylvia, into an all-white school that literally I live 3 minutes away from where it once existed. And they were turned away. And so they got together with a number of families to sue. Again, it all happened years ago, but I think what was important for us to remember is before, you know, the civil rights movement. And so to me, it's like we're the birthplace of the civil rights movement having in Westminster.
But her parents were some sort of educators or something.
I don't think so.
I remember reading something that they were not just everyday people. Like they were.
Well, her father was a businessman.
Exactly. Right.
Yes, so he was in Santa Ana.
Okay.
So he had sold them and he moved to Westminster.
Which you have to think back then. A lot of Latinos, Hispanic people, did not own businesses.
No.
Right? So for him to be a business owner was also a very brave move in his part, right?
Right. And he actually funded a lot of that case with his money from selling his business. And so he from Sylvia shares with me, he died a really painful, you know, sad life because he was done. He was worn out and broke.
Yes.
Because he had put everything into this case. And so she really felt, you know, we need to honor him. And so fast forward, there was no marker, nothing happened. So as a councilman, I said, we're going to Sylvia. And it started with a, I don't know if you know what a marker is, but essentially there's usually like a lump of like a cement. There's like a plaque on there and put a tree maybe. Like, we got to do better than that. This is like a life-changing case. How can we do this better, right?
Yes.
So we visioned together, brought some great people together, and we created this incredible park called Mendez Monument Park, located in Westminster.
Beautiful place.
Where you can actually learn firsthand from about the case. We brought the Department of Education together to help put together curriculum for teachers. And then also, there's virtual reality. So you have your phone, you can walk around, you hear the story come from Sylvia herself.
Wow.
There's statues there. And again, there's activities from kindergartners all the way through college.
That's crazy.
To learn about this case. So cool. And we opened this in December. It took over 5 years for it to actually open, which government moves slow, as you know.
Yes.
And in
But it got done.
It got done. But what's crazy is this Mendez Freedom Trail was the first thing we approved, and it's still not open yet.
Which is the one you're working.
Which is going to open next.
Next.
Yes. So this, hopefully, I think what I got is in the fall or late summer, we're supposed to have the Mendez Freedom Trail, which is the first thing that we opened to commemorate the case. But I got impatient, and I wanted to do something now. So we started on the park after that, and then the park took 5 years. Long story short, I'm excited it's going to open soon. That it's going to have a great opportunity for people to walk down this trail and learn about civil rights in Orange County, but not only, also our founding principles as American, from our Constitution to the Bill of Rights, and kind of how all that kind of lays, how we're putting these policies into practice. So we're excited.
And you wonder why you're getting the Community Impact Award at the Estrella Awards?
I can't. I can tell you, I'm so excited.
And you wonder why? Come on, Sergio. Really? I mean, this is just beautiful. How you played such a huge role in having Sylvia now in her history of her parents and her family at the Mendez Monument Park, which is, by the way, let people know where it's at so people can know.
So it absolutely is in Westminster. It's on the corner of Westminster near Hoover Street, okay. Which is literally, it's just weird. I'm telling you, things happen. Sometimes there are no accidents. It's located literally less than a mile from the former Mexican school. And not even, I don't know, 800 feet away from the all-white school. And it's like, wow, the fork in the road. That's in Westminster, where you could really learn about this case that was once in Orange County.
So I'm learning about the case. I looked it up on Wikipedia. Mendez versus Westminster, 1946, a landmark federal case in federal court that prohibited, for the first time, segregation in California public schools.
Right.
Just California public schools. And then you're saying, so that went eventually to Brown versus Board, which I think was 54. And that's where they prohibited it nationwide.
I'll add my two cents. I didn't know a lot about this either until, as a representative of the chamber, we went to give a certificate one day to Don Moreno's restaurant in Orange. Mm-hmm. And we were in there talking, and then the owners, the family members started sharing with us. There was a school across the way from there that was also one of the segregated schools, the Hispanic. And they started telling me that story about that school and how some of their family members went to it, and how they would separate them in the fence. They would look at each other, the kids, from one fence to the other.
That's heartbreaking.
Right?
Wow.
And but this case stopped all that, you know?
Yeah. You know what's really crazy? We had a reunion last summer. When you go to the monument, there's a picture of all Mexican school, and there's like silhouettes of the students along the wall. We had a reunion, and children from that picture showed up to that event.
Wow!
And we reckon, and one of them happened to be my kindergarten teacher's aide.
Wow!
And like, she signed my picture.
Wow!
To think these people are still alive. This is not that long ago. These people are still alive. That blows my mind.
Why did this not get it into the history books? Meaning that we've all learned about the history of civil rights. Brown v. Board was a famous case, the landmark case that finally abolished segregation of all kind across the country.
Well, you did see it in Long Beach State, right? Some sort of.
But I'm saying it didn't. I don't know why it's not huge.
Well, it isn't until we see it in a Netflix movie that we go, this is important.
The Channel 5 Family Film Festival.
Right?
Yeah. No, I agree. You know what's good? The good news is there is momentum.
Exactly.
That's a great question.
Yeah.
There's been attempts to incorporate it into our curriculum. It failed. But this year, there's a bill who's being led by Assemblymember Trita, who was on the council with me when we started the Mendez Project. And he's actually working right now. It's in the process of hopefully becoming signed into law, that they will provide curriculum about them in this case in our curriculum for our local schools. So
a big moment really here, and that how Orange County affected the entire world, starting with California, and then that eventually was used to argue the federal
in Westminster.
Case. Westminster.
Is that crazy?
What I think it's crazy is that last year, I never forget you walking Sylvia Mendez. You were helping her walk, I think, into the main gala there, the dinner, when you guys were all sitting there. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really nice to see now that not only did she receive an award last year, Now you're receiving an award this year because you both have played a huge role in, like you said, this Mendes project, obviously her and her family. Mm-hmm. But the fact that you have this momentum, just like you just said, this momentum, this wave that hopefully continues, and that we continue to share this with our kids, right? Mm-hmm. My kids are in high school and junior high, and the next generation. So they go visit this special park that, of course, you know, is there now, the Mendes Monumental Park. But then the new one that's coming up, the Freedom Trail, right? Mm-hmm. I think it's important we continue to share the story, right? Mm-hmm. And I just want to say thank you, Sergio Contreras, for all you're doing, brother. And again, I can't wait to see your parents at Estrella Awards.
Oh, I cannot. I'm so excited. I can't. Okay, John, I will tell this story a million times over. Just you guys are doing amazing work at the Chamber. You're bringing community together. You're leading. I see you in the front of the parade route with your baton. I mean, you're always the guy, the just change maker and bringing people together and just building that sense of community. And, you know, I would not be here if not for leaders like you that reach out to others and bring people together. And we may not always agree and be best friends, but we have respect for one another. And yes. we at times there are great relations that are birthed from those connections. And I'm just really grateful to the Chamber for the opportunity and for what you're doing for Orange County entrepreneurs, because it is a tough life. I mean, it's it's tough to be an entrepreneur. It's not easy. And people just kind of, you know, the glory, you know, I'm going to make a podcast and put it on Twitter. I'm going to become a billionaire. Like, no, it's a lot there.
By the way, I don't make billions. We don't make billions on this podcast. Right?
There's a lot there. So I admire all of you, and I have a huge place in my heart, and I just... Yeah. I wish all of you the best, and I'm really excited to be a part of the work that you guys are doing.
Well, we want to thank you, and anything you need from us, we're here to support you 100%. And obviously, we can't wait to see you and your family there April 6th at Estrella Awards.
If we can get tickets, right? Because is it sold out? I feel like it's...
No.
It was close to selling out.
It's almost sold out, but you're VIP. You're one of our winners. Ruben's going to be here in a few minutes. We'll talk with him. We got to make sure your parents are there.
Yeah, that'd be so awesome. I mean, my mom's never gone to those ever.
Yes.
She always says, take your dad. You know, you can start sola, right? She wants some free time.
You got to come with your mom and dad.
So like if my mom and dad, I mean, literally that to me is like, that's it. I'm done. Yes. Mic drop. I'm done.
No. You'll be fine. We'll take care of you. That's for sure.
Well, we got to do the mic drop here.
I know. Pause. Give me the eye. We got to go.
All right.
Sergio, thanks for being here. Folks, follow us at OCHCC. Again, April 6th, our Estrella Awards. Thank you so much, Sergio Contreras, for everything you're doing in the community. We really appreciate it, brother.
Thank you, John. Thank you all for the opportunity.
Awesome. Take it away, Mr. Paul Roberts.
Wow. Well, there was a lot packed into a half hour. One more reason you got to tune in each and every time to meet our community and hear the stories of what's happening in our community, where we come from, where we're going, and what's happening right now in our community, powered by the Orange County Hispanic Chamber of Commerce and Orange County's only community radio station, OC Talk Radio, streaming live from our studios right here at the University of California, Irvine's Beal Applied Innovation Center.